Welcome to this week's episode of FTR's Weekly Trucking Update podcast, hosted by Avery Weiss. Join Avery each week as he dissects everything from market trends to economic indicators to explore how these factors are shaping the trucking landscape. Download the graphics package at ftrintel.com/podcasts. And feel free to use those slides as you defend your transportation thought leadership within your own company. So, buckle up as we embark on a journey through the dynamic and ever-changing world of trucking. And now, here's your host, Avery Weiss.
Welcome to FTR's Weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 252 for the week of February 19th, 2024. Before we start, a reminder, you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Before we get into the data, there's a regulatory development worth noting. The Federal Maritime Commission last week affirmed a administrative law judge's ruling that chassis agreements requiring motor carriers to use specific chassis providers violate the Shipping Act of 1984 in situations when an entity other than the ocean carrier is paying for use of the equipment. The FMC decision covers four regions at issue in the judge's ruling: LA Long Beach, Chicago, Savannah, and Memphis. However, the proceeding is not over, as the judge must still determine what specific actions and possibly reparations will be required. Okay, let's look at diesel prices. I held off recording the podcast for a day because the federal holiday had delayed release of the weekly retail prices, but in a sense that proved to be kind of pointless. After the big jump of 21 cents in the previous week, the national average price went nowhere. It was one of those rare occasions where the price did not change week over week, staying at $4.109 a gallon. However, they most definitely changed at the regional level. Prices were down modestly in some of the largest regions for volume, such as Gulf Coast and Midwest, but up in another sizable region, which is the Lower Atlantic. Most regions saw only small changes, but the Rocky Mountain region saw an increase of 15.2 cents a gallon, which nearly matched the increase in the previous week. With no change at the national level, it's sort of hard to figure out where we're going from here. We do know that production of ultra-low sulfur distillate has fallen sharply over the past 6 weeks, and in the latest week for which we have data, was at the lowest level since the final week of 2022. On a four-week average basis, though, production was lowest since March of 2021. Now, one factor in the drop in production might be the recent spike in distillate inventories, as sales were low in late December and early January. Distillate stocks during the week ended January 12th were at the highest level since August of 21. Stocks have declined since then, but they otherwise are still at the highest level since January of 2021. Although higher inventories in isolation might lead to lower, not higher prices, perhaps the volatility in supply and demand is creating market uncertainty, which would tend to boost prices. The other thing that's happening is a modest increase in crude prices. On Friday, West Texas Intermediate closed above $79 a barrel for the first time since early November. Crude prices did retreat about a dollar on February 20th, however. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for truck freight for the week ended February 16th, which was week 7 of the year. Total broker posted rates in the truck stop system rose for the first time in 4 weeks. However, that was solely on the strength of rates for flatbed equipment. Spot rates for both dry van and refrigerated equipment fell for the fourth straight week after that weather-related spike we had in mid-January. The increase in flatbed rates nearly offset the cumulative decrease in the past 2 weeks for that segment, and those were the only 2 weeks of this year to see a decline week over week. Okay, let's look more closely, starting with rates. The total broker posted rate increased nearly 4 cents after declining 3 cents in the previous week. Rates were nearly 6% below the same week last year, almost 5% below the 5-year average. Aside from the weather-related strength in mid-January, total market rates have been relatively stable this year. The total market rate in the latest week was about 2 cents higher than the first week of the year. But as I suggested, this is really a function of flatbed strength offsetting weakness in the van segments. Okay, speaking of those segments, let's look at them. Dry van spot rates eased a cent and a half after falling more than 10 cents during the previous week. Rates were nearly 3% below the same week last year and almost 11% below the five-year average. Refrigerated spot rates fell 4.5 cents after dropping more than 8 cents during the prior week. Those rates were nearly 4% below the same week last year and more than 11% below the five-year average. And flatbed spot rates rose 5.4 cents after declining more than 2 cents in the previous week. Rates were 7% below the same 2023 week and about 3% below the five-year average. Okay, let's look at volume. Total load activity rebounded about 6% after declining for three straight weeks. As was the case with rates, flatbed was solely responsible for the gain. Total volume was 4% below the same week last year and almost 34% below the five-year average. Dry van loads declined about 1.5% after dropping nearly 15% in the prior week. Volume was about 15% below the same week last year and about 43% below the five-year average for the week. Refrigerated loads decreased 6.7%. That was after falling nearly 11% in the prior week. Volume was nearly about 8% below the same week last year and nearly 44% below the five-year average. And flatbed loads jumped about 15% after rising more than 8% in the prior week. Volume was about 7% above the same 2023 week and more than 28% below the five-year average. Okay, let's wrap up the weekly data with a look at mortgage rates. Rates in the latest week recorded their largest gain since October, but they're still more than a percentage point lower than they were back then. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rose to 6.77%, according to Freddie Mac. The increase followed 8 weeks during which mortgage rates were unusually stable, between 6.6% and 6.67%. Okay, since we're talking about the housing market already, we'll stick with that and talk about residential construction. But before I get into that data and the rest of the data that we have this month, we need to recognize that unusually harsh winter weather in mid-January apparently distorted key seasonally adjusted economic indicators. The Federal Reserve cited winter weather as a factor in industrial production figures. The Census Bureau does not offer analysis behind the economic indicators it releases, but a major winter weather event in February 2021 correlated with a sharp drop in both housing starts and retail sales, in addition to manufacturing output. The following month saw sharp gains, so distortions likely will continue until we get data for March. Okay, with that little caveat, let's look at home building. Housing starts in January posted their largest month-over-month seasonally adjusted decrease since April of 2020, but winter weather certainly was a factor. Housing starts plunged nearly 15% to the lowest level since August, and that month had also seen a sharp month-over-month drop. Starts were down 0.7% year-over-year. Although starts were down for both single-family homes and housing units in multifamily dwellings, those are buildings with five or more units, multifamily starts suffered a much larger drop, plunging nearly 36% month over month. Single-family starts were down nearly 5%. Multifamily starts were down about 38% year-over-year, while single-family starts were 22% higher than they were in January of last year. Permits authorized for future residential construction saw a similar pattern. Single-family permits were up 1.6%, while multifamily permits fell 9%. Compared to January of 2023, single-family permits were up nearly 36%, while multifamily permits were down nearly 27%. The number of multifamily units under construction is still quite a bit higher than single-family units, but the market might have hit an inflection. Multifamily homes under construction have fallen in all but 1 month since August. An upturn in single-family homes is less clear, but the month-over-month decreases began to shrink last summer, and homes under construction have risen in two of the past 3 months. Okay, let's look at the consumer sector. Retail and food service sales fell 0.8% seasonally adjusted in January. That is the largest decrease since March of last year. And the only other decrease that we've seen during that period was October, when sales were down 0.3%. Adjusted for inflation, sales fell 1.1% in January. That is the largest drop since February of last year, according to an estimate from the St. Louis Federal Reserve. Current dollar sales were up 0.6% year over year. That's the weakest comparison since May of 2020. Real sales were down 2.4%. That is the weakest comparison since April of last year. Sales for motor vehicle and parts dealers, that is the single largest category in retail in dollar volume, accounted for much of January's decrease. Automotive sales fell 1.7% from December. Also falling 1.7% were gasoline station sales. Now, prices almost always account for the change in gas station sales, but it is possible that the multi-day winter event that we had in January was a factor in that as well. Excluding both automotive and gasoline sales, retail and food service sales declined 0.5% or 0.5% instead of 0.8% in January. Building materials and garden supplies stores took the largest hit, falling about 4% month over month. Furniture and home furnishing stores saw a gain of 1.5%, and that was the largest of all of the categories. And in fact, was the only one above 1%. The decline in sales in January has no clear connection with winter weather, but we certainly have seen the effect before. As I mentioned earlier, we had especially severe winter weather in February 2021. Retail and food service sales that much month plunged 2.5%. That's the sixth largest drop in a single month since the Census Bureau began tracking the data back in 1992. Sales then rebounded about 11% in March of 2021, and that is the largest increase ever, except for May of 2020, when, of course, the whole economy was emerging from lockdowns. Okay, let's tackle the industrial sector. A 6% jump in utilities output due to cold temperatures in January nearly offset declines in manufacturing and mining output that were also linked to winter weather. According to the Federal Reserve, industrial production dipped 0.1% seasonally adjusted in January and was flat versus January of 2023. Manufacturing output decreased 0.5% and was down almost 1% year over year. Durable goods manufacturing ticked up 0.1%, but a 1.1% drop in non-durable goods manufacturing more than offset that gain. The Fed noted that weather-related decreases in non-durables included petroleum and coal products, chemicals, and plastics and rubber products. Motor vehicles and parts production eased 0.2%, but was up 4.4% year over year. Now, January's data represents the first hint of stabilization following the drop in production in October due to the United Auto Workers strikes and the subsequent recovery in November and December following resolution of those strikes. We'll end this week with a look at pricing for consumers and businesses in the supply chain, including freight transportation. We'll start with consumers. The rise in prices paid by consumers accelerated a bit in January. The Consumer Price Index, or CPI, for all items rose 0.3%. The increase was the largest since September, even though energy prices were down month over month, and that's often one of the reasons why the CPI goes up. The index for shelter rose 0.6% and accounted for more than 2/3 of the monthly increase in the CPI. The gain was the largest since February of last year, except for one matching that, in other words, 0.6%, back in September. Despite the acceleration in the latest month, the CPI for all items eased slightly year over year. The 12-month change was 3.1%, down from a 3.4% comparison in December. Now, excluding food and energy, the CPI increased 0.4%. That's the largest increase since one of the same magnitude back in May. Besides shelter, categories seeing notable gains included motor vehicle insurance and medical care. The 12-month change was 3.9%. And now on to prices at the producer level, which rose in January by the most since August. The increase was solely attributable to the services sector. The producer price index for final demand increased 0.3% month over month. However, the index for final demand services increased 0.6%, while the index for final demand goods declined 0.2%. Increases in final demand services were broad-based, but one area that did not contribute to the increase was long-haul trucking. The Bureau of Labor Statistics explicitly called out, quote, long-distance motor carrying, end quote, sounds like a really old-fashioned term, for price weakness at being down 1% month over month. Digging into the elements of long-distance motor carrying, the producer price indexes for general freight truckload and less than truckload coincidentally saw the same percentage change, but those changes were in opposite directions. The truckload PPI fell 2.6%, while the LTL PPI rose 2.6%. The long-distance specialized trucking PPI dropped 1.6%. The producer price indexes for truckload and specialized trucking were down 13.4% and 8% year-over-year, respectively. The LTL producer price index was up 0.7% year-over-year. That was down from a year-over-year comparison of 1.1% in December. The rail intermodal index was essentially flat for the second straight month, and that was after seeing a modest recovery between August and November. The intermodal PPI was down 3.9% year-over-year in January. The index for freight brokerage eased 0.6% in January, but a more notable development was a sharp upward revision in previous months' estimates, especially December. The initial December estimate had been a 1% increase month over month, but the revised estimate is a 7.2% jump. The freight brokerage producer price index was down 6.8% in January for the least negative comparison since October of 22. Okay, let's recap some key takeaways for the week. The Federal Maritime Commission backed motor carriers on intermodal chassis choice. Diesel prices held steady on average after the previous week's big jump. Dry van and refrigerated spot rates fell for the fourth straight week. Mortgage rates rose in the latest week. Winter weather disrupted key economic indicators for January. Housing starts fell to their lowest level since August. Retail and food service sales fell month over month for only the second time since March. Manufacturing output eased in part due to weather, according to the Federal Reserve. Consumer inflation accelerated slightly in January, and services fueled producer-level inflation, but trucking was one category of services that did not contribute to that. Next week's podcast looks to be much lighter, as all we have on the docket at this point are sales of new and existing homes and fourth quarter revenues for the trucking industry. And of course, we'll recap the week in diesel prices and the spot market for truck freight as usual. Maybe we'll scrounge up a few other things to discuss to give you your money's worth. But after all, you more than got your money's worth this week in terms of volume, at least. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 252 for the week of February 19th, 2024. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Trucking Update podcast with Avery Weiss. Be sure to check out FTR's additional complimentary market coverage at ftrintel.com/state-of-freight-today.